Thank you, Lord. You know, if we knew ahead of time how to do things, we'd have it all under control and we'd get the glory. Amen? So if you have a neighbor, just look at him and say, God's going to get the glory out of this. Amen? God's going to get the glory, not man and not the machinery, but God's going to get the glory. So this morning has been different for me from the beginning. And it's an okay deal to have something different. And, you know, the word is going to release, and we'll do what God says, and we'll do it the way he says it, and it's going to be fine. Amen? And the word that I got this morning is acceleration. There's an acceleration in the time, and I don't know about you, but as we sang that song, As the Mountains Surround Jerusalem, I began to be oppressed in my head. Did anybody else get any oppression? One, two. Okay. So there is a heaviness that's trying to come upon us, and it's not going to succeed. Amen? So the word I want to take you to is Matthew chapter 19. And I want you to be able to see that there are many days and ways of God that are not always the same as maybe they've been in the past. And there are people who have expectations and circumstances that happen, and things don't come across the way that they perceive that God should do things. Did you ever have a schedule for God? Yeah. I did too. Verse 16 says, it's about the rich young ruler, or the rich young man. And a man came up to Jesus and asked, Teacher, what good things must I do to get eternal life?
What chapter?
Chapter 19, Matthew 19. We're starting at verse 16. We're talking about the rich young ruler. And the Lord has been discussing things, and he's, verse 17, why do you ask me about what is good? Jesus replied. There is only one who is good. If you want to enter life, obey the commandments. Which ones? The man inquired. And Jesus replied, do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not give false testimony. Honor your father and mother, and love your neighbor as yourself. That's not a very large demand. The young man says, ah, these I have kept. The young man said, what do I still lack? Do you ever wonder what you were missing? Do you ever have a thought pattern that says, well, you know, if I had such and such? Yeah? Okay. Well, this young man's got the same pattern, isn't he? He says, all these I have kept, the young man said. What do I still lack? And Jesus answered, if you want to be perfect. If you want to be perfect. Well, how many would like to be perfect? But here's the solution. Amen? If you want to be perfect, go sell your possessions. Give to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven. Then come and follow me. Now, how many know that there was a tax collector that heard the same message? The same message was given to Matthew. A tax collector. He dropped everything. Sold some of his stuff. And stuff can really keep you from the Lord, can't it? Now you might have a choice. You might sell some of your stuff. Or you could keep on doing what you're doing. And this young man was given an awesome word. Come, follow me. Come, follow me. Now, there were 12 who heard that message. Does anybody know that there's a possibility that Jesus knew that there was one that was a flunky? See, a lot of times we underestimate God. We underestimate that He doesn't, you know, perceive what we perceive. I believe He's way ahead of me most of the time. Sometimes I start wondering if He's behind me, pushing me to get through. So, a lot of times I want to help Him out. How many want to defend God periodically? How many know that it's not too successful? How many end up with egg on their face? Thank you. So you see, He doesn't need to be defended, because the Lord told me one time, would you quit? You know, I don't mind them abusing me. I said, well, I do. He said, well, they're not abusing you. They're not deceived the way that maybe you perceive. Maybe they're angry. Maybe they're hurting. Maybe they're wounded. But I have a plan to save them. I don't have a problem with what they're doing. So stop worrying about how they're doing it wrong. And He reminded me, all things work together for those who love the Lord. All things. That includes the flunkies, the ones that don't choose to walk towards the Lord, but they turn the other way. So let's go back to this young man, okay? We're on Matthew chapter 19, we're at verse 9, verse 21. If you want to be perfect, go sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasures on the heavenly realms. Then come follow me. So he's commissioned to do something, and then he's told, come back. Verse 22 says, the young man heard this. When he heard this, he went away sad because of his great wealth. He went away sad because of his great wealth. Now, does that mean that every wealthy person is going to fall short? No. But what it does mean is his heart was tied to his possessions, and his finances and wealth gave him a valuable position. And the Lord was jolting him to shake some of that loose. Did he succeed? Who said not at the moment? Thank you. Not at that moment. That's very important to remember. Because there was a mindset in my mind that, oh my God, he just turned away from the Lord. How many have turned away from the Lord for a moment because they were so upset and so focused on how much of a position they were going to lose, or maybe a prestigious space they lived in, or whatever. Other things were more important than what the Word of God was trying to get them to awaken. The Word was, come follow me, but he couldn't at that moment. He couldn't complete the mission that the Father had already prepared for him, because his circumstances, his desires were yet pulling on him and controlling him. How many have a few people they know that circumstances and things are pulling on them, keeping them occupied? And Jesus is just not that important. Now that's a reality. And it's not just a reality for people in church. It's a reality for people outside of church. Well, I don't need God. I'm too busy. He'll be there when you need him. When I get about 85, 87, I'll think about it. Okay, I got a few more years I want to live. So who are they serving?
Self.
himself. Was this young man interested in God?
Yes.
Did he have a love for the Lord?
Yes.
But there was a greater love within him. He liked the status quo. Now, I'm going to park for this for a few moments there because I want you to kind of realize something. I don't know how he worked in this young man's life, but I know how he worked in my life. And when everything was reasonably comfortable, he began to shake things. He began to make things that I thought were stable move around. The legs of stuff started to give out. The legs underneath me started to give out. Because all the things that I thought were so comfortable and so grand began to what? They began to what?
Shake.
And I couldn't understand why it was shaking so much. But God had a plan. God had a plan to shake me and to shake my circumstances and to make all the things that I thought were great now quite uncomfortable. The people that I had believed in were falling apart, and I was falling apart watching them fall apart. How many have touched what I'm talking about? Watching them fall apart, and as I'm watching them, I'm falling apart with them. And I began to cry out to the Lord, "Where are you? Why has this happened?" And the purpose, why? 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 How many have ever cried out, why? Multiples of times. And the purpose, the Lord said to me, was to begin to change me. Wow. I wanted them changed, not me. I was okay. Do you ever have a feeling you were okay? If they would only wake up. And I cried out to God for them to wake up. And guess what? They didn't get better. They got
worse.
How come you guys know the story? It got worse for a reason. And the more it got worse, the more I got
upset.
What else? Because it's
strange.
Huh? Yeah, I prayed, but I was getting quite angry too. I started to see some of the stuff that was in me. As I was watching their circumstances fall more and more apart, the anger in me was now visible. If I had kept on going with a smooth ride, I would not have seen the anger. I would not have seen all the frustration. I would not have seen the discouragement, because that came too. And I went to a wonderful counselor who gave me advice and said to me, well, you have a choice. You can keep on doing what you're doing and go nuts. Or you can keep on taking this medicine, which will take the pain away. But it solves absolutely nothing.
Amen.
Now, he didn't say that. He just told me, take these and the pain will go away. And I mean, he was right. Now, I was faced with a new reality. Take two of these every 4 hours and you'll be fine. Well, I was fine. But the problem didn't go away. The anger got worse, and I was now seeing myself a little bit more. I went a little more and a little deeper, because you see, I was focused on me like the rich young ruler, and I wasn't that old. But God was still shaking things under me. Even the things that I thought were stable began to fall apart. And because I was so not me, or I wasn't the old me that they fell in love with, I was now being questioned by even the very ones that had committed to me that they were going to be faithful, that they were going to be support. They were shaken because I was off the center. Your rich young ruler later would definitely, I believe, wake up and see the roses and smell the roses. I began to see and smell the roses when I knelt down 30 years ago and I said to the Lord, can't take anymore. I can't take anymore. Lord Jesus, would you come into my heart? Take over this mess. I can't take it anymore. When I did that, I had so much unbelief in me that I did the prayer over the following week because I didn't think it worked. I didn't feel any different. And I questioned my sanity. Okay? Well, if I'm really born again and everything is going to be wonderful, it got worse. So much for being born again, Lord. Hey, that was wonderful. And my emotions were frustrated. My mind was in torment. The fear tactics were on every level. And yes, I was 27 years old. I got so frustrated. I was just like this young man. Hey, I'm going to do it my way. And guess what? I did it my way. Crying out to him part-time. So I was practicing part-time. I was not a full-time believer. I was a part-time believer. How many have ever had a part-time job? How do you like the part-time pay? Well, that's what I was getting. Part-time, part-time. And I didn't like the benefits. Well, 10 years go by. Yeah. Now I decide to go for him full-time. And I told him I couldn't do it on my own. I couldn't do it without his spirit. And his spirit impacted my life. That, I believe, is part of the future for this young man in the scripture. The Holy Ghost would come. And I believe that this young man on the day of Pentecost probably watched all these other guys that were with Jesus and said, yes, I want it. So they're drunk at 9 o'clock in the morning. No big deal. I want it. Do you understand? He didn't care anymore. Because it took me 10 years to find out I didn't care anymore. It took 10 years to get off the medicine or whatever. Because I didn't care anymore. I didn't care what God was going to have to do to change those around me. I didn't care about anything but how was I going to get eternal life. How I was going to attain that perfection. And the only one that I knew that was perfect was Jesus. He's the only one that came out of the grave and was resurrected. He's the only one that the wonderful people that love to go to what they call pilgrimage. They get to this particular place and it's just an empty tomb. There's no mausoleum. Did you think of that? No mausoleum for our God. He doesn't have a mausoleum. He doesn't have a dead corpse hanging around because they would have worshipped his bones. Why am I making mockery of that? No, I'm not. I'm trying to tell you people hold on to different things rather than the Lord. Some hold on to their riches. The young man held on to his riches. I believe that the riches got the best of him. What am I saying? I'm saying that this rich young ruler was probably me just 2,000 years later. That's what I'm saying. Was I rich? Well, I had position. I had a percentage of wealth. Some people perceived me to be quite wealthy. They would have watched and known, but they didn't. But the bottom line is, what others perceive of you, it's not what's important. It's what you perceive about yourself. That's where the rubber meets the road. Are you seeing a perfection being formed in you? Are you seeing the perfect one come alive in you? Are you seeing yourself drawing to eternal life? Are you seeing that it's time to wake up and to really look at me? Never mind look at the neighbor and how ugly they've been to me, but to really look at me. Will I follow the one that says, follow me? Will I be like him? Or will I be like Kim? Or will I be like Gail? Please don't choose us. Choose him. If you follow me, you're going to see my mistakes. If you follow me, you're going to see some of my sins. If you follow me, you're going to see some of my discouragement. But if you follow him, you're going to see signs and wonders and miracles of all types. And you will see yourself get changed from what you were to what you need to become. You see, I don't have an architect's outline of what you will be, but I know the one who does. The same one that said to me, follow me. Verse 22, when the young man heard this, he went away sad because he had great wealth. Then Jesus said to his disciples, I tell you the truth. It is harder for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I tell you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Now, why? Why is it so hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God?
He has more to give up.
He has more to give up. What else?
He's leaning on riches and not on God.
He's leaning on his riches and not on God. He's quite self-satisfied. How many ever heard the word or the expression self-made millionaire? Okay? If I was a self-made millionaire, would I need to understand eternal life? You wouldn't think so. Why? Because your thought patterns would be on how wealthy you are, how well off you are, how circumstances are so great, and what is the other level of my own entertainment that I could provide for myself. And they go from one level of entertainment to the next. We had a wonderful, beautiful young woman whose mother has been on TV this past weekend. Anna Nicole Smith, I believe, started off in a church situation. I believe that that woman had made a commitment to the Lord, but then fell in love with herself and the worship of people. And she became a goddess in her own eyes. And I'm not picking on her now, any more than I'm trying to give you an understanding of who I was. But you see, the reality check came on Friday. Reality check. Are you ready to enter the kingdom? Are you ready now? Have you been perfected enough? Are you ready today? Well, I don't know about you, but I don't want to be Anna Nicole. I don't want to be anyone but a follower of the Lord. And I'm not saying she didn't have a hard life. I'm not saying any of those things, because I believe she did. I believe she made some bad choices. But that was because of other things. And I don't need to know her test. All I know is that I do believe that if she had a relationship with Jesus Christ, that when she crossed over, she would say yes and repent quickly. And God would say, welcome. Now, what am I saying to you? I'm saying to you that the rich young ruler had an opportunity down the road. I'm believing that he had something that impacted him on the day of Pentecost. Because you see, he was interested in Jesus. He was interested in eternal life. He had a heart after God. the Lord, when he began to show me myself after those 10 years of training, he began to show me that I need to intercede for the very irritations that I had in my life. The very people that had caused me to be upset with life and God were now becoming a focus to pray for. And I didn't know how to pray. And I've shared with you that I did learn that 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 16, 17, and 18 became a way of getting me off of myself, off of the focus of my problem, and began to give thanks for the way they were, the way that the circumstances needed to go forward. If you've got someone in your life that is an irritation, if you've got someone in your life that is driving you to your knees, then praise God. You say, why? Because your life is now filled with troubles of different kinds, filled with hardships of all types. Now, I want, let's see. Peggy, how about if you go to James chapter 1? And because I believe you've got the Amplified, right? Yeah. And I want you to read James chapter 1 out loud to us and to release an awareness. And I'm going to stop you at different places in order for you to begin to see who you are and what you are in Christ and why the hardships. So if you want to go to James chapter 1, you're more than welcome. You might put a bookmark there because it's going to probably cause you to see what happened to this young man. Because James is the Lord Jesus' brother. Amen? So go ahead, Peg.
Chapter 1.
Verse 1.
James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes scattered abroad among the Gentiles in the dispersion. Greetings, rejoice. Consider it wholly joyful, my brethren, whenever you are enveloped in or upon trials of any sort or fall into various temptations. Be assured and understand that the trial and proving of your faith bring out endurance and steadfastness. Endurance and steadfastness and patience.
And patience. It brings out those three valuable what? What are those things?
Qualities.
So they bring out what?
Endurance, steadfastness, and patience.
How many would like to have a little more endurance, a little more patience? Come on. Do you get John? But what do you need to get there? Back it up a verse or two there.
Consider it wholly joyful, my friend.
Consider it wholly joyful if you've really lost your mind.
Whenever you are enveloped in or encounter trials.
Whenever. Not doesn't say if. It says when. So there's going to be some.
Or fall into various temptations.
Oh, you mean you've got to have no more temptations because you're going to be perfect now. You're going to be actually A1 all the time. You'll never have another temptation. Well, get out of this realm quickly because I've got news for you. You will be tempted. It happens. Okay? See, my understanding of God is I had a religious background about God. And God was having to take 17 years of my life to shake me enough to get a new opinion of him. Go a little deeper after the...
But let endurance and steadfastness and patience have full play and do a thorough work so that you may be people perfectly and fully developed.
Now, wait a minute. Hold it. Let's go back to... Keep your finger on that place. Don't lose it. See, if you go back to verse 21, Jesus is speaking, if you want to be perfect, if you want to be perfect, to the rich young ruler. If you want to be perfect, here's how you're going to get there. Right? What am I saying this day? What am I giving you understanding? Is that when those trials and difficulties and changes happen, don't get upset. Be flexible. Don't start shaking your fist at God. Because I've got news for you. With his fist, he can make out of you. Amen? What am I saying? That our God is changing us. He's shifting us into different things. And he's accelerating the times. The perfecting of the saints is not going to take as long as it used to. Why? Because he's accelerating the times. I want to continue now back to Matthew 19. Because I want you to see the hearts of these men were no different than me and you. When the disciples heard this, they were greatly astonished and they asked, "Who then can be saved?" Totally disgusted. And Jesus looked at them and said, "With man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." So wealth is not a problem for God. Verse 27, Peter answered him, "We have left everything to follow you." So do you think he's in a happy space that day? Do you think he's starting to think about himself and where his wife is left behind, his children have been left behind, he's been walking around Israel for maybe 2.5 years now, and he's a little disgusted, there's nothing happening, and Jesus is talking about perfection, and you got to get rid of your money. In case you forgot, Peter was a businessman, he was a fisherman with a boat, he was in the marketplace, he was doing a work for God, so he thought. But Jesus said to them, "I tell you the truth," and I believe the NIV is a good word here, "at the renewal of all things," at the renewal of all things. Well, wait a minute. What is he looking for? What is he trying to renew? He's trying to recreate man in the image of his God. He's trying to get God to be a part of his future. "When the Son of Man sits on his glorious throne, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses, or brothers or sisters, or fathers or mothers, or children, or fields for my sake, will receive 100 times as much and will inherit eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and many who are last will be first." Now there's no number system in this word. Go verse 1 of chapter 20. "For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner." Now he's going into a parable to teach us how God thinks, rather than how man thinks. Okay? "The kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire men to work in his vineyard. He agreed to pay them a denarius for the day and sent them into his vineyard." I stress the part, he agreed to pay them a denarius. "About the third hour, he went out and saw others standing in the marketplace doing nothing. He told them, 'You also go out and work in my vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right.' So they went." If they went, did they agree? All right? They agreed. It was okay. "He went out again about the sixth hour and the ninth hour and did the same thing. At about the 11th hour, he went out and found still others standing around. He asked them, 'Why have you been standing here all day long?'" Doing nothing. "Because no one has hired us," they answered. He said to them, "You also go and work in my vineyard." And when evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to the foreman, "Call the workers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last ones." I like the part that's kind of neat. "Beginning with the last ones hired and going on to the first." And when the workers who were hired about the 11th hour came, and each received a denarius. So when those came who were hired first, watch their hearts now. They expected. Say, "I expect." What am I making you aware of? We all have expectations, don't we? And we're not going to blame people who have expectations. But could their expectations be false? Yes. They expected to receive more. But each one of them also received a denarius. And when they received it, they began to have a party. Do you ever find yourself grumbling or complaining? Murmuring under your breath, "Well, if it was a real God I was serving, I would have paid me double." You would have paid you double. Right? When they received it, they began to grumble against the landowner. "These men who were hired last worked only 1 hour," they said, "and you have made them equal to us." So now they're also judgmental, critical, angry, bitter. Why? Because their expectations were out of whack. God wanted to build them up with an agreement. They agreed to pay or receive a certain pay. And then when they didn't get what they expected, what happened? They're angry. "You have made them equal to us. You have borne the burden." Who have borne the burden of the work and the heat of the day? So now they're saying, "We worked harder than everybody else. We worked in the summer heat. We sweat. We had a hard time. And you don't care." So who are they mad at? The landowner. They're mad at God. But he answered one of them, "Friend, I am not being unfair to you. Didn't you agree to work for a denarius? Take your pay and go. I want to give the man who was hired last the same I gave you." And this is the trigger. Don't I have a right to do what I want with my own money? Or are you envious because I am generous? So the last will be first, and the first will be why? Because God decides to be generous. And you don't want to be generous. You want to be selfish. I was selfish. I saw it in myself. And I began to say to the Lord, "I don't like what I see in me. I don't like all this focus on me, myself, and I, the three gods that I serve. I don't like the benefits that are going out to others. So what's wrong with me instead of what's wrong with them? Or what's wrong with you, Lord?" See, if my God is a generous father, which he is, is he a compassionate father, which he is, he is a coordinated father and he knows the hearts of men, and he knows what he's got to get out of me that I don't even know is in there. He's going to let the garbage be visible for me so that I can humble myself and bow my knee and say, "My Father, if you want to bless them twice as much as me, it's okay. Close your eyes. Lord Jesus, I ask that you would release to them today an awareness of how much self is still left in each one of them. How much of self-worship is still happening. And how great it is to be able to see someone else blessed and not be envious. Lord Jesus, I'm asking you today to give them a space of grace to be able to be changed from what they were to what you need them to be. Because your goal is to bring them into patience and endurance and perfection. And my prayer is that you will take them there. Because you have a plan of salvation that is so awesome. And you're accelerating the times, Lord. Things are going forward much more quickly than they were. But this day, that they will have that grace to be able to go forward and become perfected as they follow Jesus. If you've got a hand next to you, please take it. Don't need to open your eyes just yet. Say, Lord Jesus, I'm trusting you to the grace that I need, not to be focused on other people and how much they are blessed, but to be focused on you, Lord, and how you have promised me a kingdom of peace, a kingdom of harmony, and a kingdom of joy. In the midst of my hardships, I give you praise that you've got a plan of salvation for every single person. Not only that's in my life, but has touched my life. I give you praise, Lord. And I can celebrate this day that if I was selfish, I can repent. I can change my mind. I can release myself back into your arms to be healed, to be delivered, to be set free, to walk with you, and to follow you all the days of my life. If I've been angry or bitter, I repent, Lord Jesus. I don't want to live there anymore. If I'm focused on someone else getting a big blessing, and jealousy is in my heart, forgive me, Lord. Set them free. But don't forget to set me free. I want that freedom. I am not going to be like the rich young ruler. I'm not walking away from you, Lord. I am going to follow you all the days of my life. And no matter how big they get blessed, it's okay. Hallelujah. I've settled for one denarius. I want you to stand. I want you to put your Bibles down. I want you to celebrate this victory. I want you to celebrate this victory. Because this is a victory for you and for him. Because nothing is impossible with God. Amen?
Amen.